So if I was advising people to treat, you're looking to treat 2 weeks post peak Madeira's egg hatching dates as part of MAP. The southwest where we've hatching dates, expected hatching dates 23, 24, 25th of March, it's from now on you will expect to see significant challenge in lambs within that age bracket. So it's now, if you're considering treating, now is the time to do it.
Hello, I'm Kieran Lynch and welcome to Ovicast, the Chaga Sheep Podcast. Each episode will bring you less insights, advice and technical updates for the sheep industry. We're joined in this week's episode by Dr. James O'Shaughnessy from the Central Veterinary Research Laboratory in Backweston to discuss this year's Madeira's forecast. We discuss the symptoms of the Madeira's and high-risk periods across the country. We discuss the treatment options and some of the factors that may lead to higher risk or certainly a higher incidence on farms this spring. We also discuss the potential concurrent risk with coccidia. We start off with James explaining a little bit more about the Madeira's and how it can affect lambs.
The Madeira's is similar to the other stomach and gut worms. It's another roundworm that will affect chiefly sheep, but also potentially calves as well. It's, the disease itself is usually seen in lambs maybe 6 up to 12 weeks of age. It can be seen slightly earlier in lambs, but typically that age category. It's a little bit different when we compare it to the other standard stomach and gut worms we see in sheep, where for those ones, there's more a gradual build-up over the summer and into the autumn period. The Madeira's is different. Firstly, the infective stage, the larvae, they hatch directly from the eggs onto pasture, and they generally hatch more or less at the same time. And this is due to the fact that the eggs, in order to hatch in the first place, require a period of cold temperature. So over the winter period, where you get cold temperatures, and then you come into the spring, you get this increase in spring temperatures. So the eggs are, I suppose you call them cold conditioned from winter time. Then into spring, you get this increase in temperature. So the eggs, you get a large hatch of eggs almost at the one time or over several days, leading to a sudden increase in the numbers of infective larvae on pasture. This is, like, as I said, this is different to your more standard stomach and gut worms, where there's a gradual build-up over the course of the grazing season. These guys are different. The Madeira's will generally appear more or less at the one time. So the lamb is challenged, and in some cases very heavily challenged with large numbers of infective Madeira's larvae.
And so just for completeness on this, lambs are picking this challenge up off the grass. So it's hitting them at that phase where they're starting to eat grass as well, James. Like for most March-born lambs, your typical high-risk period is coming in right about now, but they're eating grass and picking up that challenge.
Yeah, so I mean, generally say 6 to 12 weeks of age. Now it can be a little bit younger lambs, where lambs are sucking ewes, where they have, you know, less milk than they should have. You'll also see it in case maybe in twin lambs where they're forced, I suppose, to getting less milk, so they're forced to eat grass earlier in life. So it's important from, say, from now on to be looking out for signs, potential signs in lambs that fit that age bracket, 5 weeks plus 6 weeks plus up to maybe, you know, 12, 13 weeks of age, typically 12 yeah. weeks of age.
And look, certainly the way, and we might come back to this again, it has been more challenging. Likelihood is lambs are under a bit more pressure. Look, you touched on the symptoms that we're looking for in this case, and maybe in explaining that, unlike some of the other worms we talk about later in the season, the diagnostic end of it on this is really based on physical symptoms as opposed to fecal egg counts.
Yeah, now you can get, and you will get, considerable damage in the gut caused by the pre-adult stage. And the other thing to factor in is that eggs produce, the adult worm doesn't produce a lot of eggs. So yes, use fecal egg counts as a guide, but you can in instances have cases where you have very low fecal egg counts or none at all, and you know, and disease, what you're looking at, can still be caused by the Madeira. So take into account the time of year, when it's occurring, the age of the lamb, looking at the forecast, based on the meter, the weather data for March, so it's based on soil temperatures, and the clinical signs. Now, certainly we will get counts here in the labs that go into the high hundreds in the Madeira, but it's certainly not always the case. So if people get what they consider a low fecal egg count, or even where they don't even find eggs in the fecal sample, it can still be due to nematodiris, due to damage being done by the pre-adult stages. So all factors need to be taken into place: age of the lamb, time of the year, the clinical signs, and also the lab testing.
And so just to fully run on it, in terms of that physical symptoms, the strain and the diarrhea, I suppose the one thing we need to be cognizant of this is that impact can be quite severe and it can happen quite fast as well.
Yeah, so you get, profuse, very scoured lambs, dehydration, weight loss. If you the ewes themselves will be unaffected, so it's a disease of lambs. Now, if you see things like blood scours or straining or whatever, then you're looking. You'd also want to be checking and testing for coccidiosis, because both can happen concurrently, and if they do, you can have pretty devastating consequences for lambs.
Okay, so quite severe. Look, you mentioned the forecast. I know it's been launched this week. It might be in harm just to explain that in a bit more detail and what exactly that's telling us, maybe if there's any change from previous years.
Right, well, the forecast is based on soil temperatures for the month of March. Now, this for eggs to hatch nematodiris, they need to be, what basically happens is they're cold conditions, so that over the winter time nothing happens. And you get an increase in temperatures in springtime, and this leads about to kind of the eggs hatching. With the different weather stations throughout the country are obviously temperature recording, so they're recording the temperature, the soil temperatures for the entire month of March. And if we look at this year's forecast, the forecast will give the map itself gives kind of the estimated dates in March and in early April when peak egg hatching is expected to occur on pasture. And looking at the map, I would say that the southern half of the country is definitely probably 3 to 4 days, maybe even 5 days earlier this year with regard to egg hatching compared to last year, whereas the top half of the country is similar. It may be a day or two earlier as a general comment, but I certainly would say the southern half of the country, it is a little bit earlier than last year. So take, for example, the extreme southwest, where looking at some of the meteorological data, hatching is expected to occur March 23rd, 24th, 25th. So we can expect, significant challenge. If eggs are hatching around that period of time, by the time they hatch and by the time they're ingested by lambs to cause clinical effects, we can expect to see, significant challenge in lambs maybe 2 weeks post those dates. So if I was advising people to treat, you're looking to treat 2 weeks post peak nematodiris egg hatching dates as part of MAP.
So just on that example, like for early March born lambs in those areas, they are high risk at the moment.
The southwest where we have hatching dates, expected hatching dates 23, 24, 25th of March, I suppose it's from now on, you will expect to see significant challenge in lambs within that age bracket. So it's now, if you're considering treating, now is the time to do it.
Something you mentioned there earlier too, and we touched on this, more difficult year, certainly ewes when out thinner, maybe less milk, grazing conditions difficult. Your twin-born lambs are going to be more dependent on grazing grass earlier and getting into the diet. They're probably at risk a little bit earlier this year too, or certainly individual challenges could appear earlier in some of those younger lambs.
Yeah, that's true. And they'll be forced to, I suppose, graze grass earlier than they normally probably would have, reduced milk supply in ewes. Another thing to take into account when you're actually treating. So it's not like these things aren't set in stone, but certainly lambs that are, like that in ewes that have less milk, they'll be at more risk earlier in life than you would have normally expected.
It's just one of them setbacks they could receive early on too. Look, we mentioned treatment. Might be no harm again, just to refresh memory, correct treatment, James, for nematodiris.
Right. We've all heard about resistance in sheep or sorry, beg your pardon, resistance in roundworms in sheep, you know, to butter all the different types of roundworms in sheep. With regard to nematodiris, we don't, there's little recordings of anthelmintic resistance to nematodiris in sheep. So it's one of those parasites which is pretty easily killed. What we do strongly advise is to use a white drench and a white drench only. So if you use a white drench, they are very effective at treating the nematodiris. Now, in a lot of the time, or most of the time, they're pretty, you know, they don't have much effect on a lot of farms for any of the other roundworms, but they are particularly good for you for treating for nematodiris. And you know, taking this approach, you're avoiding using, you know, clear or yellow drenches at a time of the year when you don't need to be using them. So the refugia population, compared to say midsummer or whatever, is quite low. So you're avoiding encouraging the development of resistance to the other drug classes. So basically, yeah, a white drench is what we would strongly advise to use.
Okay, so we're preserving the others for later here, and that's a sensible approach. As well, look, I'm just conscious we're talking about dosing. It's the first time dosing these lambs. Anyone that has done it knows they can be tricky enough. They're moving around a lot on you in a race. Dosing gun injuries, James, can happen. You see it in the vet labs every year. It's probably another time just a little bit extra care needs to be taken.
Yeah, it is awkward, you know, lambs of that size trying to dose them. But people should be conscious of the fact that when they're using the dosing gun, they're not, you know, just care what use of. Don't try to force a dosing gun into a lamb's mouth. And try and use a proper dosing gun, as they call it, proper dosing gun, instead of using, you know, like some of the plastic syringes that people try and use, which are not suitable. So use a proper dosing gun.
Yeah, just say yes, one thing to take your time with, I suppose, have it said correctly and all the usual caveats. Look, I suppose the other challenge, James, and we have to mention this because you touched on already, differential diagnosis for it. Coccidia is also a risk, probably given the year and dirty grazing conditions. Might be more of a challenge this year in flocks, even flocks that normally don't have it for the later born lambs.
Yeah, like just even with the amount of rain we're getting at the moment. So typically when you see coccidia, you know, outdoors, it's usually associated with, you know, wet conditions, and it's you know, most commonly seen, or you know, the highest challenge areas in pasture are around feed trucks or water trucks, particularly where lambs and ewes congregate. So given the weather conditions we have at the moment, with a higher risk of poaching, the challenge with coccidia potentially can be very high. So it's just important, like, that, you know, if people are feeding outdoors, you know, to move their trucks if possible to drier, higher areas. Just, you know, don't have the truck in the one space, you know, the whole time. Because this is certainly high risk for coccidia. And the other thing is, just make sure that when people are given, you know, nuts or ration to sheep or lambs, whatever, the trucks are actually clean. Because if there's feces inside the truck, you know, that's obviously, you know, a source of contamination for the feed itself.
Yeah, look, certainly the year it's going to compound issues. As I said, look, possibly some of them younger lambs, they're bound to be grazing previously grazed pasture this spring. They're probably the highest risk category for that.
Yeah, and the other thing, I suppose, you know, for some reason or other, people assume birds have some sort of role to play with coccidiosis in sheep. Like, coccidiosis in sheep, similar to cattle, is very species specific. So what I'm saying by that is, sheep strains are for sheep only, cattle strains are for cattle only. Now, birds may have a role to play by actually the physical, you know, by actually standing in feces and then standing in the truck from that point of view. But as you say, with the carryover itself, yeah, that all obviously is a risk as well to the younger lambs in the group.
James, I suppose overall it's been a challenging season. The nematodiris certainly should be on the radar. What I'll do is I'm going to include the link to the nematodiris forecast in the show notes for this one. I think it's a very useful document. A lot of what we've discussed is outlined in it. It's certainly a good reference to go back to.
Yeah, and just to say, Karen, as well, the as regards treating for nematodiris, so we're telling people to use white drenches. Now, if you treat today, say you're in the southwest, and if you treat today based on the forecast for nematodiris, the drench itself doesn't it doesn't have any residual activity, so it doesn't actually stay in the system. So if lambs are continuing to graze that same pasture, we would be advising a follow-up treatment with a white range again approximately 2 weeks later. So just important note that there's no residual effect. The drug will not stay in the system. Once they'll treat today, but that's it. So follow up again in 2 weeks' time.
For I think that's a very important point, particularly given the fact there's probably going to be mixed age groups on a lot of farms, particularly in grazing groups. You know, it's a necessary step.
Yeah, no, it is. And I suppose people, you know, if you've a staggered lambing season and you've lambs coming out of the susceptible age, I suppose, and they're getting exposure, developing immunity, but you've also lambs coming into that age category where they're most susceptible to the mad virus. So it's just to note that, yeah, if you do treat a group and they're still in what we call a high risk area, say 2 weeks time, so the same paddock, same ground, that was especially with this graze by last year's lambs, well then we would be advising to go in with a second dose, and even an occasion a third dose, depending on the age profile of lambs and also the challenge. So what I mean by challenge is, you know, this is ground, sheep ground used from year to year to year.
Yeah, which is going to be typical of where we have in every farm. There's very little clean ground on most of our sheep farms.
Yeah, yeah. So I suppose that's it in a nutshell, yeah.
James, look, really appreciate that update. Certainly timely at the moment. Thanks for coming on with us.
No worries. Thanks, Gert.
We'll leave it there for this week's episode. I have included a link in the show notes to the Mad Iris forecast. It's a very useful reference document. I'd encourage anyone listening to this podcast to have a look at it. It certainly goes through and we've discussed in detail, and you see the map of high-risk periods right across the country. That's it for me for this episode. For updates from our sheep program, keep an eye on our Twitter page at Chagall Sheep. I'm Kieran Lynch. Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe and follow us for more episodes.